The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Good morning, Boker Tov. A very solemn day or start to the weekend here in Israel. A complete change in how we were feeling yesterday this time with news of a terror attack, this time in the Haredi city of Elad, not too far from where I am here in Modi Inn. We know for sure that three victims, three fathers that leave behind between them 16 orphans have been killed. I will give you their names in a moment. Three others are in the hospital, two in critical condition, one in moderate condition. The two terrorists whose names we know, whose names I will not repeat to give them any kind of notoriety or infamy, are aged 19 and 20, are from the city of Jenin, and are currently on the lam. We have an extensive manhunt searching for their whereabouts. The residents of Elad have been told by Israeli police and security forces, please, to remain in their homes. The three fathers are named as Yonatan Havakuk, Boaz Gol, and Oren Ben Yifta. May their memories be for a blessing. Hashem Yakum Damo.
So, Rolene, just tell us what happened. It was, of course, an incredibly celebratory day yesterday. Israel having a national holiday for Yom HaAtzmaut, for the 74th day of independence. A wonderful day, an incredible day with flybys and people out, families enjoying the time. It's one of the few, or maybe if not the only, public holiday in Israel that isn't a Jewish holiday, in the sense that there are no restrictions. People can go and have barbecues, braais, picnics and things like that. It's just a lovely, it's just an incredible day, isn't it?
It's an extraordinary day. You know, if we look at the mood of this country, how it has changed over the past week, starting with Yom HaZikaron, Tuesday evening, where we start to mourn our fallen, the now 24,068 members of the IDF, police services, security services, Mossad, Shabak, prison services, who have fallen since 1860. And then, of course, the whole mood of the country changes at 8 o'clock with the lighting of the independence torch. And you really feel that mood of solemn memory and remembrance, and not forgetting the now 4,129 victims of terror. And we change from deep reflection and deep mourning into one of absolute celebrations. Here in Modi Inn, unlike some of the other cities, we had fireworks that weren't silent, much to the chagrin of many of us. Our mayor is about to get a whole lot of irate emails. But for the first time in 2 years, Israelis out celebrating. The balconies of all our homes are festooned in blue and white flags. Yesterday, you couldn't escape the smell of ala esh, or braai, as you call it in South Africa, all over the country. The forests were packed. I was just outside Beit Shemesh. The traffic, because of everybody going to the forests surrounding the areas, was incredible. Beaches were packed. The annual flyover, which is my favorite event of the whole year, where we saw the F-16s, the F-15s, the F-35s, which I absolutely delight in, the air acrobatics, helicopters. Unfortunately, and I'll due to Faribault internally pulled their plane.
Oh, no, no, no. Please say that ain't so. That's the most Jewish thing I've ever heard in my life.
We are
not coming to your function. Absolutely not.
We are not coming to your function, and we're telling you an hour before.
Absolutely. Wow.
And, you know, the day is one of absolute celebrations. I almost absconded with a friend of mine's puppy. Just this feeling of jubilation, and look at what we have achieved in 74 years, and the news breaking around 8:30, 9:00 last night of this heinous terror attack in El Ad, two terrorists armed with axes and knives attacking these three fathers whose families' lives will be changed forever. We know from one eyewitness in El Ad, he managed to fight off the terrorist by throwing hot cholent at him, probably the second most Jewish thing you will hear today, as horrible as the situation
I wanted to laugh, but I don't want to laugh. Like, how do you even respond to that? Like, it's tragic, but it's just almost impossible to deal with something like that.
But we are dealing with a situation where Hamas have incited their support by saying, if you don't have guns, go out with knives and axes. And here we have proof of that incitement on the ground. This has drawn widespread global condemnation. And, you know, we have discussed, you and I, that the world is starting to feel a great sense of fatigue with the Palestinians, and committing acts of terror is certainly not helping any cause that they seek to promote. The world is now sick and tired of this, and is making their feelings known.
Absolutely, just beyond words. When you think about, as you say, this move from Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaAtzmaut, and then ending Yom HaAtzmaut with this terrible, terrible tragedy, and of course the fact that they have not yet been captured, is also must be a very, very uncomfortable feeling in Israel.
But rest assured, our security forces always catch them. Whether it will be today or whether it will be in the coming week, we will always catch them. And as Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said, that you know, we will not be broken by this, we will not be divided. The theme of unity being reinforced very strongly by our leadership in the army, our president, our prime minister throughout this week. He said, you know, we will not allow them to break us in any way. And you actually see this. You actually see that the answer, the Israeli resolve to act like this, is to just become more Israeli. The flags won't be taken down today. That I can assure you, we will defiantly keep those flags up in a message to terror that you will not break or defeat us.
Absolutely right, and it's just the resilience of the people comes through over and over again. Let's just talk about this Russia-Putin situation, and apparently Putin has apologized.
Well, what is quite fascinating about this story, Howard, is that the Israeli readout, you know, how it works with these kind of meetings is that if presidents have and world leaders have conversations, the media will be given a readout, what was contained or what they think we need to know, what was said during these conversations. Now, as I discussed earlier this week, when we summon any ambassadors for a dressing down, there is an unspoken kind of understanding throughout the world, throughout the diplomatic corps, that whatever is said in those dressing down sessions is kept within those walls. But let's take a look at the week. We had the foreign minister of Russia, Sergei Lavrov, saying those outrageously anti-Semitic comments that he said earlier this week, where he was interviewed on Italian television. He was asked by the host, how do you justify Russia's rationale of denazifying Ukraine when the president of Ukraine himself is Jewish? And Lavrov said, it doesn't matter that Zelensky is Jewish, even Hitler had Jewish blood, and some of the worst anti-Semites are Jews themselves. Now, of course, in Israel, this was received with absolute outrage. Our president, our prime minister, our foreign minister, and Danny Dayan, who is the chairman of Yad Vashem, all condemning it, demanding an apology. We've had condemnations from the US government as well. We had 22 Jewish members of the Democratic caucus sent a very harsh statement saying that this is once again this veering into anti-Semitism, this blaming of Jews. They said this is Putin or this is Russia's attempt to distract from their crimes against humanity and war crimes committed in Ukraine. Now, Prime Minister Bennett had a phone call with President Zelensky yesterday, and amongst wishing us Chag Ha'atzmaut Sameach, President Zelensky said that he had spoken to Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and discussed the scandalous and completely unacceptable remarks by Russia's foreign minister, you know, making this comparison to Hitler. And he said, you know, this is not surprising. This is basically par for the course with Russia. But in the readout coming from Prime Minister Bennett's office, it says, apart from the Prime Minister appealing for evacuation from Azovstal in Mariupol, a humanitarian corridor which apparently President Putin promised to allow the evacuation of civilians, including wounded civilians, through a UN and Red Cross humanitarian corridor. In addition, the two discussed Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov's remarks. The Prime Minister accepted President Putin's apology for Lavrov's remarks. Can't say Lavrov this morning. There you go. And thanked him for clarifying his attitude towards the Jewish people and the memory of the Holocaust. And very interestingly is that in the Kremlin readout, that has not been included.
That is interesting. But it also is testimony to Israel's relationship, past relationship, certainly with Russia, because I can't imagine that Putin would be apologizing to any other country for any type of offense that that one of his ministers might have made.
Well, this is an excellent point to make, especially since we, as we speak, we have a Hamas delegation of Hamas officials who live outside Gaza, naturally, because, you know, why would you want to live amongst the humanitarian disaster that you've created when you can use your own civilians as a human shield, just saying. They are in Moscow meeting with Lavrov. And it isn't just Sergei Lavrov that we've had these horrendous comments from this week. It's also a spokesperson from his foreign ministry who said that Israeli mercenaries, quote unquote, are fighting shoulder to shoulder in Ukraine with members of Azov. Now, Azov, as if you've been following this war, are familiar that are the neo-Nazi group within Ukraine. And I don't know about you, Howard, but you know, the jig is up, can't pull the wool over our eyes. I don't see Israelis, whether or not they have been confirmed as being in Ukraine. There are some news sites that are lauding the presence of what they are calling Israeli commandos. This has not been confirmed by our government. But I don't see any Israeli fighting alongside any neo-Nazi group. Do you?
Absolutely not. And yeah, it's just amazing, because when you see this propaganda war, you see how it is, how it's playing out. It is really just fascinating to watch. Bennett and Zelensky have also spoken.
Well, this is the whole crux of the conversation. You know, Zelensky looks to Bennett as a possible mediator. Right now, with this current wave of terror, we'll have to, you know, rethink where we stand on that. We put being a mediator on hold for the moment to sort out the issues here. But Zelensky very much sees Bennett as a mediator. And also Zelensky very much sees Israel as the model that he wants to base Ukraine on. And Yermak, his chief of staff, who incidentally also has a Jewish father, and speaks about his Jewish roots and lost family during Babin Yar, and Zelensky have said, you know, we see Israel as the model to base Ukraine on. Israel deals or handles a perpetual state of conflict while still managing to bolster its economy and build its people and infrastructure. So Zelensky very much wants to maintain those close ties. It is also seen that Jerusalem, as a possible venue being a very, very neutral venue where there could be some kind of negotiation or rapprochement between Putin and Zelensky. However, UK press reporting earlier this week that they are expecting President Putin to formally declare war on Ukraine round about the 9th of May. So we're all going to be watching that. I know many of you are thinking, what, you know, basically destroying cities, creating millions of refugees and horrendous war crimes is not war enough. Well, he apparently has not formally declared war on Ukraine.
Which makes absolutely no sense. I saw that and I thought, what on earth is he going on about declaring war on Ukraine? I thought that that's exactly what we had been covering. Rolene Marks, thank you for an Israel report. Wow, highs, lows, happy, sad. It's just, I guess, a day in the life.
It's a day in the life, and I tell you, I'll never look at a trollant in the same way again. Who knew it's now a weapon of defense?
Absolutely, we do what we can. It is 8 o'clock. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Have a peaceful weekend. A Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you next week.